Now let us begin the 57th chapter of Isaiah. And the thought in the 57th chapter is very much the same as the 56th chapter. As a matter of fact, the last four verses of chapter 56 are just a prelude to this chapter 57, and the thought is the same. He's talking about the fact that the nation is going to be invaded. He describes it as beasts of the field coming in to do the invasion. And in this 57th chapter, he further gives the reasons for the invasion. We'll learn that most of the nation had turned to idolatry. Now, the time for this situation about which he speaks here in chapter 57 was probably during the reign of Manasseh. Manasseh was one of the wicked, idolatrous kings of Judah. We have reason to believe that Isaiah lived and wrote during a part of the reign of Manasseh, and the things that we learn about Manasseh and his wicked reign are very consistent with the things described here in chapter 57. I would like to turn to 2 Kings chapter 21 and read the first 16 verses of that chapter to show how the land was during the time that Isaiah gave this prophecy in the reign of Manasseh. Reading now from 2 Kings 21, verses 1 through 16. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger, and he set a graven image of the grove that he made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem will I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, Because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down, and I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger, since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So there we have an account of the wickedness of Manasseh, the things that he brought about during his reign. And so it gives us a good background for what this prophecy in Isaiah 56 and 57 is saying. So I begin with verse 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Now what this is saying is that the righteous people in the land were dying. They were being removed from the scene. they were being destroyed. That is, their presence was no longer allowed to continue. They were being destroyed from the life of the area of Jerusalem and Judea. And nobody laid it to heart. Nobody cared about it. Nobody gave it much thought. Nobody seemed to care. He further says, and merciful men are taken away. And this phrase, taken away, really means gathered. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Nobody seemed to really consider or worry about the fact that the righteous people, those that have not turned to idolatry, those that are the old standard bearers of the true and holy religion, they are becoming fewer and they're being just vanishing from our presence through the medium of death, and they're not being replaced. And actually what was happening here is that God was removing the righteous. He was allowing them to die, whether all the deaths were quiet deaths or whether they were being made to suffer and being persecuted. He doesn't specify here, but we do know in that prophecy in 2 Kings over there, he says that in verse 16, moreover Manasseh, this is 2 Kings 21, moreover Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So he shed the innocent blood. He filled Jerusalem with the blood of the innocent people. And that may be what this verse is talking about. The righteous perisheth and the merciful men are taken away. And it looked like that the righteous then were just being persecuted or tormented and being put to death. But what really seems to be happening is that God was taking them away to preserve them or to prevent them from having to endure the evil things that were to come upon the nation of Judea. For he says, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. This was simply God's way, apparently, of allowing the pious to be removed in order to avoid evil. So many of the righteous people did not go through with the destruction of the land, the captivity. They were not hauled away as captive slaves into another land. Many of them didn't, because God simply allowed them to die before the end of this reign of Manasseh took place.